Hi, this is Russ. We're getting ready to go over Session 9, The Creation of the Chosen Ones, in the Internet course, The Black Awakening. And this is going to probably be one of the most important sessions for you. And if you're a counselor or a psychologist, or if you're somebody who's working with multiples, it's absolutely vital in that process. And I know the process is about healing and wholeness, but to understand how they were created, what they're all about, gives you an ability to minister to all that is there, instead of just the upfront personalities. And there's others on the inside, and there's also a demonization in Daniel Ryder's book that he tried to write primarily for those in secular fields of counseling, to convince that it's more than just the victimization, sexual abuse, ritual abuse. There is the demonic side of things in his book called Breaking the Circle of Satanic Ritual Abuse. Well, in this, I'm going to be going over, from our experience, and it comes from really thousands, literally thousands of hours with the Chosen Ones. And I will use that term. I used to call them undergrounders until they told me, a number of them told me, that the primary designation on the inside was that they were Chosen Ones. And the idea of Chosen Ones was, and is, that they are chosen by Satan. They are special to Satan. That in opposition to Christians in the Scriptures, who are also called a royal priesthood and were chosen in Christ. And so we're elect. Well, they are also in the satanic sense. But let's just go over some of the principles on page 9, 10, and 11 in your notes, if you do download them and use them. May God give us wisdom, and may God give us insight, and may the Word of God come to our minds and help us to integrate, but also then to apply, to do what God wants us to do with the use of the materials and our understanding in ministry and in the days in which we live. So let's look at point A, the troops of Antichrist beyond the Aryans. And I really believe, as I take a look now in Scriptures all the way back to when Jesus told the parable of the sower, there's a parable in the Gospels where he is the, you know, of course, the Savior comes to the world and pours out the seed, the Word of God, and individuals receive and they become the wheat and they begin to grow. Now, this field is not to be harvested until it's all done, till the end of the age. And I think that's been the concept of Christians, that, hey, we're part of God's agenda and God's building His kingdom, and we're to reach the world, and that's absolutely correct. But Jesus gave the insight that just as He comes to initiate a church that would be indestructible, indefeatable, that the gates of hell could not prevail against or withstand, that during the night, if you study the parable, in whichever gospel you look at it, as you study the parable, during the night, the evil one comes. It was clear in Jesus' mind, in his understanding of all the agenda, and his, of course, knowledge of it all, the evil one is real. The evil one will come on the back of his heels to create his army, to create his counterfeit church, his people. And he'll do the same thing. He'll go to the world. He'll go to the fallen world where man is in need of redemption, and God brings the redemption. But of course, the evil one's going to come to create tares. Tares. And they're going to grow up right alongside of the wheat. And to this very day, that's been done in the sense of people who have been committed to the Luciferian doctrine and those who have been initiated in many different levels throughout the last 2,000 years. But in the development of those tares, this would also include these super soldiers. We've called them at times satanic super soldiers because part of their creation is to be soldiers. But it's more than just that. They are, in our estimation at this point, truly created to be the troops of Antichrist, to be the initiators. and to be activated to create the Black Awakening, the Great Revolt, the Great Chaos and Anarchy, to help unleash untold levels of demonic presence and manifestation. So when you go over all this materials, I want you to have in the back of your mind, especially if you're working with multiples, that you are dealing with victims, yes, but you're going to have to be as, you know, meek as a dove and as wise as serpents. Because in every single SRA victim that I've dealt with, there's more than just the hurting personalities. It's more than just that. And sometimes the hurting personalities are there only for the diversion, while the inside, intact, cult-loyal, trained, highly trained personalities are doing their work. So this is much broader than the issue of healing and victimization. I even believe at this point that sometimes they have been allowed to be released and brought out to psych wards and counseling centers and everything else to test the waters, to test their durability, to see who can get down into the center of them and find the real core personalities, sub-personalities that are there for the future. It seems as though handlers and others, they don't mind if you get to some of the upper, what we call, or they call, home-created personalities. Well, let's go over all of it, and I'm just telling you that I believe that it has its roots in Scripture, that Jesus taught us that the evil one would come and create tares. There is a contrast. There is transformation, and there is transmutation. Transformation is the Scriptures, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 on down, that there's a great transformation in our salvation is God coming in, taking the constitution, the structure of our being, and releasing us from the rule and reign of sin and Satan, and infusing us with new nature and the power of God without changing the structure of our being. It's a renovation of body, soul, and spirit, of all the faculties of our being. Because in Christ, all the faculties of our being are released and empowered, and they come to their not only normal, but we're returning back to a godly sense of use of the faculties of our being. Whereas in the creation of those who go through left-hand path initiations, and there's an altering of personality. There's an altering. Demons, no human was made for demons. Demons were not meant to be in and on a human being. They simply were not. Now, we have the capacity for that. Let me give you another contrast. Among left-hand path practitioners and even New Agers and others, they have a thing they call the third eye, the awakening of the third eye, or the concept that there's a by the demonic presence or by the spirits that come in, they awaken a capacity within them to see spirits, to perceive things. The concept of I see dead people, you know, and that's where the idea of even psychic visions and dreams and telekinesis and a lot of things, the idea of the third eye. If you study the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to see where the Apostle Paul prays for the Christians that the eyes of our hearts, listen, the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we can know the inheritance, the depth of everything God has given us in Christ. The eyes of our heart, that's talking about an inward capacity. We have an inward spiritual capacity. That capacity can either be activated by the demonic presence coming in and opening things, and all they're going to see and receive and take in is the demonic side. Or as we're born of the Spirit of God in Christ, we are, in a sense, made alive, and the capacity to perceive spiritually, the eyes of our heart are enlightened, are opened up by the Spirit of the Lord. And that's why sometimes I talk about having spirit-lit eyes or a spirit-lit understanding. You know, we've been given, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've been given not the spirit who is from the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know or understand all the things that God freely, you know, that we can understand the things of God, and that we would have spirit-led discernment, and we'd be able to tell. Now, listen, as a believer, the only reason many believers are not really perceiving and knowing, again, carnality is discussed in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, where a Christian is still living fleshly and in the carnal sense, and two things happen. When a believer is living in a carnal, fleshly, backslidden state, an abnormal Christian state, that there's two things that occur. In Ephesians 4, they are grieving the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, we are putting out the Spirit's fire. Well, the idea of quenching. The Greek word means like taking a wet blanketing and throwing it over a fire. That we, in a sense, diminish the capacity of the purpose of the Spirit of God in our lives through our carnality and sin. But when we are yielded to Christ, if we've repented of all sin and we're yielded to Christ to be filled. See, a Christian can be filled and supposed to be. Matter of fact, Ephesians 5 commands us, we're commanded, we're told by God to be filled with the Spirit of God, to allow ourselves through our yieldedness in faith and obedience. As I said before, the principle, we receive all things by faith. All the grace of God is received by faith. But that grace and all that power and presence of God is manifested in obedience to God. So it's very important to realize that there's two different sides. There are tares, and then there's the wheat, and then there's the rest of the field who have not yet been grabbed, and Jesus is not going to come back until at least the possibility for every single human being to be engaged by God and called to come to Christ, like in Isaiah 2,700 years ago, come to me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God, and there is no other. And that's going to continue as far as God's agenda. Now, Satan has an agenda also, and I believe the parable is a revelation of Jesus showing us that the evil one also has an agenda. And just as Jesus is working in the world, saving, healing, delivering, and baptizing new believers into his body by the Spirit of God, and giving us the spirit of adoption and making us his family, so I believe the same thing is occurring underneath the table. Underneath the table, where tares are being created. And those who are initiated into the Luciferian doctrine, New Agers on a light level, are brought into the Luciferian concept. Anyone who's believing in the spiritual evolution of man to deification is a part of that Luciferian doctrine. Because it involves having to reject the living God and the true Christ and accept a false version of Christ and the Luciferian doctrine of elitism and spiritual evolution and deification, which, may I cry out again, has never ever happened with the Gnostics. Go all the way back to Sumer. Even among the Nephilim, they were not the same as believers. They were demon-human hybrids, but they were not born of the Spirit of God with the guarantee of glorification. The Nephilim were not gods. I mean, in a small G sense, yes, all over the earth, they became gods in the sense that people worshiped them for their supernatural powers and their mutation of being giants and many other things about them. We'll get into that later, too. But anyway, hey, B on page 9, 60 years and counting. Now, I'm going to go over this, just kind of an overview concerning the chosen ones. Or call them satanic super soldiers, if you'd like. But it's been 60 years, because once we've dealt with so many victims for so long, and our passion was to track the information, track backwards who did this to them. Are there real rituals? Where's the ritual meeting places? And once we got beyond that, following that line all the way back. And obviously, for example, in all the chosen ones that we've dealt with, once we've broken satanic demonic seals and protection and gotten down to assassin personalities and priestess personalities and others that are Luciferian loyal, coven loyal, militaristic loyal. We have found in almost every single one personality that speaks German, that is pro-Nazi, that understands the idea of a Fourth Reich, and that understands the idea of a coming Führer, referring to the Antichrist, and that believes that they are the troops, and that knows that they'll be used in some capacity in the Black Awakening. Now again, if it was just one or two people doing that, that's one thing. And we don't use regression therapy or hypnotic stuff, whatever else. We don't want to have any kind of interference when we're dealing with individuals. But we're talking about dozens and dozens of them. Dozens of them. 100 of which came from the area of Pennsylvania. Where we've tracked that and gone into PA and found the German internment camps. And so this goes backwards, all the way back to the Germans with Mengele, with Himmler, the Hall of the Dead, Wurzburg, the whole Lebensborn project of Aryan race, the secret doctrine, the belief again in the creation of a master race who's going to be the foot soldiers, of course, for someone like Hitler, and that they're going to be these incredible super soldiers, and that an entire master race. Basically, it's the demonic version. On the demonic side, it was their call to bring maybe a return of a type of Nephilim. Because the Aryans, if you understand Aryans, Hyperboleans, Atlanteans, and so forth, or if you go to the Old Testament, look at the historical development of Nephilim bloodlines, with the Anakites, Zamzumis, and the rest of the Old Testament. You see, in Genesis 6, they were there on the earth, and obviously that's one of the major reasons for the flood, because humanity had been so corrupted, so totally altered, that there was only a little bit of pure human bloodline and genetics and DNA left in Noah and his family. Well, as we look at all of that, they were also on the earth later on, and as you're going to hear me say when we get to the middle of this and when we get towards the Antichrist issue, there is no question in my mind that just as Jesus Christ has a pure human bloodline and human ancestry that goes all the way back to David and all the way back to Adam, that has been uncorrupted from this Nephilim bloodline, so also the Antichrist will have a Nephilim bloodline all the way back. Now, I'm not ready to say where it begins. I believe it would begin with those in Genesis 6, but continued later on. Anyway, 60 years. When you think in terms of the Nazis and all that was being done, a lot of the historians, and I've got a few shelves packed with all the books on the Nazis and every video and CD I could possibly get over the years, and just study them and look at them again and again and again and again. And probably looking at the occult history of the Third Reich and looking at Lebensborn, the project, the secret, super secret project of identifying Aryan blood, the idea of Aryan blood again, having magical powers, having heightened powers, that was all taken away. They blamed it again on the Jews. Part of the issue was to blame it on them, and that this master race has been watered down. And it would seem to be, for example, if the Watchers came down and had the B'nai Elohim had sex with the daughters of men, and they created mutant giants that were half human and half demon, and in their genetics, in their makeup, they would be completely altered. They would never be considered human. They're not fully demon. They're not fully human. They're transmutated. The transmutation of humanity. And that's mutating the original. And there's, you know, you read it in Enoch, and I really encourage you to read Enoch. I believe Enoch is great, that it is a book of the prophecy of Enoch in the words of Enoch. I believe the scriptures attest to Enoch, and Enoch attests to the scriptures. Regardless of whether Enoch was ever meant to be or part of scripture, obviously, earliest church fathers did receive it and use it, and I highly recommend it. You can find it online. You can buy it. Just don't get a hold of Elaine Pagels and others who have kind of New Age commentary throughout and where they've stolen. You can see where they've stolen it to fit their concepts, as they've done Scripture and other things. But 60 years ago, in the looking for blood that had powers in it, the Aryan issue was there. The whole concept of power in the blood flag, scientific search, the Nazi doctors. There was a development of a heightening humanity. And in Lebensborn, where anywhere from 400 to 800,000 in estimation babies were created in the late 40s, well, those babies, many of them, if not most of them, are here in the United States and in Europe and other places. And just lately, there's been news articles in Germany and in France and Britain and here in the United States about many of these survivors of Lebensborn Project are now looking for their real parents and tracing a life source and where they really came from. Now, in our engagement with a lot of the handlers, some of those were raised directly in this satanic brotherhood, creating them to be a superior human, breeding them, interbreeding them with other Aryans that were created during that time to have another level of offspring. Now listen, Lebensborn children are now in their 60s. Back that up now to people in their 40s. Most of the multiples, satanic ritual abuse multiples, all across the United States, millions of them, are in their 40s. It's a very possible, and you can track this out. We're continuing to track it out. We believe we've found the evidence, and in many of the cases, individual cases, and now we're trying to look at all of them to see if that these victims of satanic ritual abuse and the altering of personalities, in their view, is not to create a victim. In their view, is to create an elite human being who has greater capacities and greater abilities, and that is totally superior to what they call us singletons or normies. So in their view, they weren't creating just weak little victims. They were creating heightened, elitist, superior human beings. And when the war ended, what happened to all of those projects? And where did they all go? And all the thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of scientific research combined with spiritistic research. Well, it all came. It went to the Russians, and it went to the United States, and in the rat lines, the doctors and SS soldiers, 80,000 of them, in one estimate, went through the rat lines and through the Catholic Church and through the rest of the world, South America, the colony of Dignidad, Paraguay, and all kinds of places around the world. And now there's more and more research about the breadth of that and where. You know, the old SS soldiers and so forth in their 80s, late 80s now, would be around the world. Well, it's that next generation down, the Lebensborn children and the children of Nazis that were in the Brotherhood or the Aryan Project. So if you begin to take and look at the victims of today, some maybe in late 30s, but primarily 40s, late 40s, even early 50s, you track it all backwards, and you're going to go back to the early 50s. Many of the occult multiples or chosen ones I've dealt with were born, you know, they were born into this 1953, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58. So there was this tremendous push that came in through the OSS, into the CIA, the Monarch Project, eventually becoming, the MK Ultra Project. Orion Project, Centauri, Tapestry, all kinds of sub-projects and hidden projects in multi-billion and even trillion-dollar funding that went for these projects. The problem was, again, that I say in Project Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, and Bluebird, and all of this, was that the Americans and the Russians probably and others had no concept that they were invaded spiritually. They had no concept that the splitting of the human personality and the changing of DNA and genetics in a human being came from demonic ideology. Before I get there, let me just once again say, take a look at all of it. All of this SRA, MPD that you see today in almost every single psych ward in America, costing insurance industry billions of dollars. We're finding Christian ministries all over and other types of work, counseling systems, trying to handle the issue of multiple personality disorder and the SRAs. And it's not a matter of are there any there. They're all over the place. And they're in Canada. They're in the UK. They're in Germany and in other places. They're all over the Western world. The Western world has been filled with them because the Western world is the ultimate platform for the rise of Antichrist. And again, keep tracking. Keep looking at all of it. Now, what was occurring was that in the middle 50s and 60s, these chosen ones were being birthed, created. They were being raised. And they began to be used in the late 60s and 70s. But as they begin to be used and become, you know, into their late 20s and 30s, many of them in their 20s were being used in military projects, and they were being used in coven projects, and they were being tested. And what we've always been shown and told through literature materials and discussions with them is that they're constantly trying to perfect the procedures of creating these chosen ones. In the 70s, a few began to show up in psych wards. In the 80s, thousands of them began to show up. And through the 90s up to this date, we may be up to 5 million diagnosed cases of MPD with clearly an estimate of another 5 million or more that are intact. And others have estimated this. We've done this all the way back in the 90s in a few of the conferences. And here we're doing it. And in the book, the information is there. So in tracking all of this, there's literally millions. And I would say this, that if you're dealing with or you know of those multiples, or you're at least understanding that there's hundreds of thousands of them out there, that though they may be in their 40s and 50s and so forth, you've got to understand there's another generation of them coming up. Because the breeding, if they've created a advanced human being through this technology and through the demonization in the blood and giving them abilities, then when they match a cult multiple and a cult multiple, a chosen one and a chosen one together for the breeding purposes of creating even a more powerful, a more demonized, a more genetically changed, again, seeking through all of this demonic technology, science, to continue to try to produce basically a pure Nephilim. And it is my understanding at this point that all of this process includes the goal. Again, Aleister Crowley talked about the Moonchild, the crossbreed of a demon and a human. This is not in the public world. It's probably unheard of. In the Christian church, it's basically unheard of, but not in left-hand path spiritual teachings. And so Crowley himself is going to be teaching on the Moonchild enormous materials are now being brought forward that we've seen behind the scenes for years, concerning demons and humans, the sexual activities that are occurring, or a demonized human being having sex with another demonized human being for the goal of creating some type of special child, a moon child. Well, that's part of it. And all around us, there's another generation. There are other children being raised in it. And we've done freedom encounters on little children, 8 years old, that have had personalities developed in them and demonization in them. And it's very possible, counselors and pastors and other helpers and psychologists out there, that the multiples that you're dealing with now are nothing in comparison that what will come our way in the next few years. More sophisticated, more able, and as a matter of fact, the goal is to find to create them so they don't break down, so they stay intact and out of the public scene until they're called upon. Well, I'm going to go from here down to point C, and I'm going to tell you again, I believe they've been forged in hell, the idea that the concept comes from the dark side, that the evil one that creates the tares in a transmutation of humanity, mutating the original human. Not see, demonization or possession is one thing, where a human being opens up their life and demons come in. Now, that's one thing. Possession in that way is an abnormal thing also. And we see in Mark chapter 5, a man that had so many demons. Now, we've never been told how did they get there. The idea is, what doors did he open that all those demons got in? The bottom line in Mark chapter 5 was just the demonstration of the results of a demonized, highly demonized human being. There was barely any shreds of humanity left. Of course, he's naked, he's cutting himself, he's crying out, howling, whatever he's doing. He cannot live among humans. He's among the tombs, among the dead. Obviously, a Jewish person is not even supposed to be inside of a graveyard, a cemetery. This is a desecration of this human being completely. He has the strength of 10, 15 men. They try to chain him, and he breaks iron chains. So here we find the idea of what happens to a human in a mutation of through possession. Now, when we talk about the chosen ones, possession goes beyond just spirits entering them. Possession goes all the way back to the identification of demonic or supernatural or magical powers in bloodlines. And when you match those bloodlines in breeding, you're supposed to get, like in the dog world, please understand, the dog world understands this. Please understand, even in human life, we understand bloodlines and the color of eyes, the color of hairs, hair that we have, the color of skin. And all those things come into play when there are when conception occurs, and the genetics from both sides on a physical sense plays a part. But we cannot forget that if there are those who have demons and or demonized blood, part of that old Nephilim blood in them, and they come together and they cause the they have a conception. Well, that conception may be demonized from the very get-go. At the very least, demonized, and when they're born, demonization is there, thus familiar spirits or bloodline generational demons. Or the very fact that the demons are actually in the genetics, the blood itself of the new baby. And because of that, that child is special to them, chosen, because they'll be more apt to take in more demons. They'll be more apt to receive more of the demonic realm and become more and more an advanced child. Now, in all of those studies, please understand, I know that Christians are having a hard time thinking, wow, how can this be, you know, demons and humans and all that? Well, then you need to take a look in biblical theology, in the Word of God, and see how Jesus was conceived. My friends, Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God, spirit to human. Without any participation of a male, the egg was fertilized by the Spirit of God in the Virgin Mary, thus having a human, a pure human ancestry, bloodline through David all the way back to Adam, Mary came from, and Joseph, by the way, but primarily Mary. And the Spirit of God, God Himself. So there's, without question, in biblical theology, it is possible for spirit to initiate conception in the womb of a woman. And I don't know if you've seen, I've seen different videos on the incredible, the moment of conception. It's like an internal explosion. It's kind of like It's compared to the new birth in Christians. When we receive Christ, instantaneously there is a explosion of the life of God into our spirit, into our life. Well, at conception, in the biblical sense, the human spirit is in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash. That human spirit is created. That generates the life force behind the physical. Even right now, your heart is pumping because there is a kinetic energy. Your heart is pumping. You're not plugged into the wall. No, your human spirit is the life force behind that kinetic physical energy that continues to keep the heart beating and beating and beating with those electrical impulses. So there's a life force, and the human spirit is created at the moment of conception and becomes the life force of the child. Thus, Jesus called the baby in the womb Braphos, baby. So we're very clear that life begins at conception. Left-hand Pathers and Crowley and Luciferians and the Satanic Kingdom, the Satanic scientists, they all understand that. And I'm going to tell you of a couple of kinds of rituals they've explained to me and written down on paper over the years in this concept of the creation of the chosen ones. That's why I'm saying, in my concept, they are forged in hell with demonic technology, particular kinds of rituals. Let me mention the ritual that I was told by a personality. I won't even say their name, but they were describing it from their training and their activity at a military base in Holland. And described it, and another person wrote it. As I shared with other chosen ones and inside personalities, they confirmed things and went over. And so it's all been written out and drawn in picture form and explained. Now, here's how they explained it, basically. When a husband and wife come together, and when the sperm enters the egg, at the moment the sperm breaks through into the egg, conception bursts forth. The human spirit is made alive, and from that moment, the child will begin to develop and grow without anybody, you know, stopping it. 9 months later, the woman is going to bear a child. And it's an awesome thing. Procreation is part of what our creation is all about. But again, Satan twists that. He looks for a way to develop a counterfeit incarnation. How is Satan going to become the Antichrist? How is he going to get in and counterfeit Jesus if Jesus is born by the Spirit of God and human lineage in the formation of literally God in human flesh? Consider the genetics and the DNA of God in human flesh. Consider the properties of the blood of Christ and the power of the blood of Christ. Now you can take a look back at these chosen ones and the description of the ritual in which, at the moment of conception, pre-rituals have already been done. Bloodlined individuals who have demons in them and demonic properties in their blood, at the conception, at the very least, demonic abilities and principal power is transmitted or is handed down. At the moment of conception, where the physical is generated by the life force of the human spirit being created, that moment, the demonization also is there and it houses that. Now, to take it further, I'm just going to tell you what they tell me. They do a specific ritual in which they believe that they either cordoned off or kill the human spirit. I believe they cordoned off, but some of them believe, and they've told me that they've done a ritual in which they literally instantaneously kill the human spirit, and at the same instant moment, they're injecting demonic spirits, so much so that the life force behind the physical side of the development of the human is demonic spirit. Now, see, I stand here, and I have a human spirit, soul, and body. Very clearly. The soul and spirit immaterial. Deep connection. But you are spirit, soul, and body. I have a human spirit. When I am born of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God comes in to my spirit, and my spirit is made alive to God. And from there, the Spirit of God penetrates the soulical side of personality and even dwells in our physical body. So the presence of the Spirit of God in us, because we have a human spirit. And that's outlined, I think, throughout New Testament theology. And if you take a look even at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when it talks about the spirit of a man knows the thoughts of a man. That's how we're able to transcend our own thoughts. Well, for their claims, Luciferians, they're claiming this, that chosen ones, the human spirit's been cut out, and that they are operating under the life force of demonic presence. That's why they can look human and act human, but because of the demonization from the very, generationally and at the moment of conception, and from that moment on, the life force is primarily demonic, and in that demonic, the demons have that technology, that drive to cause the will to be split and to create numerous sub-personalities, thus the unilateral dismantling of the will of a human. Chosen ones or multiples can't make a unilateral choice. I can't. I can say, well, you know what? I'm going to go buy some pizza. Nope, I'm going to buy chicken. Nope, I'm going to buy a hamburger. And I choose. You know, I can think about things, but I choose. I don't have a sub-personality that might say, no, you're not going to do that, and have to fight that. Or four or five other personalities. Or that's why there's this issue of when someone comes who's a multiple, if they accept Christ, what about all the rest of the personalities that haven't accepted Christ? When you get to the psychological manual, the DSM-4, which is the diagnostic manual for psychologists and psychiatrists and so forth, you're going to read a development, historical development of their diagnosis or description of a multiple personality disorder, or of DID, dissociative identity disorder. And one of the categorizations to diagnose somebody is that they actually have a separate personality with its own identity, its own history, its own age, everything else. Well, in all the multiples, they don't have just one personality. They may have 40 or 50, depending on how they've been created and what they've been created for. Well, I'm trying to go over just simply the demonic technology behind it. The bottom line is that there is the idea of moonchild, the idea of the drawing of Nephilim blood, the empowering of Nephilim blood, the purifying to get the Nephilim blood, from 2% to 8% to 20%, thus heightening the life, the strength, the mind, the abilities of a human being, that they can run faster and think faster, and they're more brilliant, and they have greater capacities. And many of the chosen ones, when I get down to personalities, I mean, they are arrogant about their superiority over all of us normies. And there is no question that I've met many of them that are extremely proficient in computer technology, in physics, in science, in all kinds of theoretical physics, and abilities, and a tremendous information. You and I, as singletons, have one personality to learn and grow and whatever. Well, they have numerous personalities that can gain information, and they can switch from one personality to another. So as the person, has the ability to draw on numerous, it's like you having a family of friends, like the Verizon commercial, the telephone, that the commercials you see on television here in the United States, where the guy has a telephone, a cell phone, and all these thousands of people are behind him. It's the company trying to let the person know that they've got all this backing and all these friends. Well, the idea of an intact multiple is that, hey, all these personalities, we work together to form an incredible superhuman being, and we're way beyond you. We're elite, and you guys are just monkeys. You're just drones, and we're far beyond you. And many of them have, again, tremendous capacities that come even from their programming. Well, again, we need to study more. I'm just giving you an overview. I could spend 3 hours just on this discussion. I could spend 3 hours just on definitions. I mean, hours and hours and hours. But at least this gives you the content to think through and go through and integrate with the information you already have, think about, pray about. The factors are, if you're a Christian, if you're a student or a researcher in this course, the facts are there are millions of multiples around us, chosen ones. They got here somehow. And our goal, of course, salvation, healing, deliverance, and bringing them to Christ in wholeness is one issue, and seems to be a very tedious process for a lot of us. Point D, chosen ones. Now again, they've called themselves Babylon working babies, BWBs, and so a lot of you know you're going to hear phrases like this: chosen ones, Babylon working babies, and so forth. SRA meaning satanic ritual abuse. MPD meaning multiple personality disorder. DID, dissociative identity disorder. And MC, mind control. All of these factors are laid out into the public. I will continue to use the terminology they have given me. They call themselves primarily chosen ones. If you dig down deep enough in every single multiple you're dealing with, you're going to find inside someone who knows what a chosen one is. It's secret information. It's not supposed to be known. Upper personalities may not even know what's down below in the basement of where their sub-personalities have been placed. Many of them know that they're Babylon working babies, that they're there involved in the rise of Babylon, and the that they've been created or conjured, kind of like the Aleister Crowley thing of the Amalantra working. They've been forged by demonic and human, and that they have a combination of demonic empowerment genetically and through acquiring, and also the human side. That the human side is completely empowered and advanced because of their demonized genetics. Well, the issue that we have right now is that there are many millions of victims in the psych wards and everywhere else, counseling centers and churches, and many of the male multiples, by the way, many male multiples are in the prisons, because when their sub-personalities get out and abuse a child or do something, they end up put in prison primarily, whereas a lot of the women who have broken down have sought help in counseling centers trying to share their stories and trying to get out. So for a lot of us, we see it as a victimization, and obviously it is. I mean, what can a child do if you're born that way? If you're brought in through a bloodline in that sense, what can you do if your will has already been pacified, if you've already been broken down, if you've already been demonized, if you've already been made or created to be a servant of Satan? And again, the only way out of that I know is the miracle-working, incredible superpower and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to go over the bloodlines, how it all works, how and what. We'll deal with function in a few moments, but let me just go over the how. This again is an overview. I could spend 3 hours on just the how. Bottom line number one, page 9, bloodlines. All of them have demonic-oriented bloodlines. They'll talk about the Merovingian bloodlines. They'll talk about bloodlines to go all the way back into old Europe and all the way back to the Aryans or all the way back to the Nephilim. And that is something we need to take a deep look into and study and track and look for confirmation and verification. Bloodlines and conception and the genetics, as we've been talking about already, to where, again, they are altered in their conception and altered in their genetic makeup. And very well may have a Nephilim genetic material that makes them susceptible for further demonization and further transmutation into a chosen one and for the Antichrist, the use for Antichrist. Secondly, demonized and rituals. There are preconception rituals. There are in utero rituals. There are rituals at birth. There are rituals. Many of the victims or counselees that are writing books now will tell some of the stories. We've heard, I say, literally thousands of stories over the years of the kinds of rituals. The conjuring of demons to put on them, to continue to transmutate them towards their product, towards the, they're fashioning them like a little little lump of clay into Luciferian servants. And rituals are those that they would do to conjure spirits to empower the fetus to, demonically and shape it and even afterwards, all the way to the point of think it's 6 years old when the marriage to the beast is done. Again, I want you to understand something, the horrific side of all this. By the time marriage to the beast comes, a chosen one already has numerous personalities. And numerous personalities that were splitting, you know, the splits have occurred, but just they were buried for later use. So they're growing up with numerous personality splits within that down the road, the splitters, programmers, and handlers are going to conjure or call up and then begin to do the programming and training. So you've got to understand how many times these victims have been through hundreds of rituals. Hundreds of demonization process whereby rituals are done and more demons are placed in and on. And many of these rituals are done for this personality and that personality and this personality to demonize all the forged personalities on the inside to continue to create a, if you want to call it a multi-layered advanced being with many different capacities and many different abilities, etc. Point three, it begins not just with the bloodlines and then demonization, but the real process begins in the splitting, where there's a pacifying of the will. They pacify the will. They have to engage the will of a child, which is very easy because it's very soft. And if you create enough pain, you're going to cause a child to dissociate enough to where eventually the personality can't take the pain and splits. Literally, the human soul, the personality splits. And what happens is the part of them that's being tortured or going through pain basically sinks underneath the table while a part of them sinks, leaps forward to take the rest of the pain and the issues. So that the host person that sinks downward does not experience what's about to happen and all the programming and everything else. After it's all done, the new raw personality that has been drawn up and spoken to, bonded, and beginning to be programmed, they are put down, and the host person comes back forward with no memory. They have no memory of what occurred. They're just missing a block of time because their memory wasn't engaged. Another part of them was engaged. Every personality carries their own memory. Unless at some point memories begin to be shared. It's like when I meet somebody brand new, I don't know their history, I don't know their memories, I don't know anything about them. Multiples, when they become aware of other personalities inside, they're freaked out because they don't have any idea of the history and what's been done and how, you know, and they begin to realize their body, when other personalities switch and take over, the body's been used in different ways. It might be a really nice lady that's there and talking about memories, whatever, but there might be a personality inside that is just completely pornographic and slutty and uses a sex slave and loves it and has been used in prostitution. And that physical body operating under the subpersonality is used. And, well, we won't get to all that just yet. Let's just talk about splitting. You're going to hear a lot of the victims talk about they remember drugs being given to pacify the will, or certain lights that they see on a level of strobe, the syncopation of the brain, mind-brain waves, has been used to help dissociate the mind. Sounds also. Some people will talk about sounds, like the idea of a heart beating or particular sounds. You know how the hypnotists use sometimes even sounds or having the eyes watch a particular, or even again lights, color. So a lot of them will talk about blue lights and different things like that. Drugs, lights, and sounds can be used. That's more of a technological way of causing dissociation and then splitting. The old way of just pure satanic covens and the old way is creating tremendous pain and torture. In a child, you know, maybe an adult can, you know, take it till they pass out, but in a child, that's where the splitting occurs so easily. And once splitting occurs once, they're more susceptible to another split and another split and another split. So once it happens, the susceptibility continues to go higher and higher and higher. So splitting can be sometimes done by a pain-pleasure principle, where there is a heightening of a child's sexual side and awakening of that side and creating pleasure on the one side, but on the other side, creating pain at the same moment, thus bringing massive confusion, causing dissociation, and then the literal tearing and splitting of human personality. Well, after the splitting comes bonding. Point 4 on page 10. The bonding is, hey, you're one of us. We love you. We created you. They're going to talk about their creators and that the new personality is bonded to the immediate person they see. And it's the person that's the only person they know in the beginning. And then fifthly, there's programming. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do, since I'm on point 5, I'm going to stop here at programming because we're already almost at 1 hour in this CD. We're going to have to give you 2 hours on this CD. I hope that's all right. But I don't want to go so fast that we bypass material for you to use in your studies, research, and so forth. So let me just go ahead and stop here, and we'll begin here in a few moments with another part 2 of the Black Awakening Chosen Ones from page 10 in your notes. Hey, this is Russ, ShadowTheDarkness.net. Hey, continue to keep things in prayer, and write me if you have questions. God bless you. We'll talk to you in a few moments.